What's up, everybody? Will here at Schedule Fly. Couple of quick notes. First of all, this episode is sponsored by us here at Schedule Fly. If you own or run a restaurant and you're scheduling on pencil and paper or Excel or WhatsApp or Google Docs or some combination thereof, and you'd like a very simple employee scheduling and communication tool with legendary customer support, check us out. Schedulefly.com, 30-day free trial, no contracts, no setup fees, no cancellation fees, no hassles, no friction, monthly pricing. And if you have any questions, my phone number is on the website. Happy to wrap with you. Also, if you're using a software that is cumbersome or was sold to you with a lot of promises, but is, you know, not fun to use or doesn't have good support, give us a shout. I'd be happy to talk to you about what Schedulefly can bring to the table for you. Second, sponsored by Flip, and that's FLYP. Flip is our partner with mobile banking. These guys have a wonderful tool, debit card based bank account, rewards based debit card, which is very cool. So every time you use your Flip card, you take your phone out and you spin the Flip wheel on your Flip app, and you can win up to 110% cash back. If you don't win cash, you can win Flip coins. You pile up enough Flip coins, you can use those to buy rewards. So if you don't love your bank, and I mean, if you don't really love your bank and enjoy using your debit card, check out Flip, because it's no fees, no credit check, no hassles, much like us, great customer support, and a really simple, fun product. And that's flipmoney.com, Flip spelled with a Y. You can find them in the App Store. And again, Flip is FLYP. So, okay, folks, on to this episode. What's up, everybody? Will here at Schedule Fly. And we decided to start doing these little quick episodes with what we call timeless advice. And it's actually going to be bits and pieces of advice that we've received from restaurant owners over the years through our various content production that we've done, whether it's been our books, our podcast, our videos. But I'm starting with actually our first book, Restaurant Owners Uncorked, that we self-published back in 2011, early 2011. That means these interviews were done in 2010. So this is 12 years old, but the book has served the purpose by and large of doing what we hoped it would do, which is to provide timeless advice. We didn't want to get into a lot of details about specific types of technology or things like that at the time, but more just big picture advice on starting a restaurant, running a restaurant, growing from one restaurant to two, you know, growing from two to three, three to 10, and so forth. How you treat your staff, how you treat your customers, things like that. So more philosophical advice and so forth. But this is a piece of advice I'm about to read from the book. This comes from Scott Maitland. And Scott's been the owner up at Top of the Hill Restaurant and Brewery for, they've been open for about 25 years now. And this is something that I remember doing this interview and really being struck by how brilliant this is. And it has to do with raising money for a restaurant. And it's something that you could do, just literally follow this exact path today. So if you're looking to raise money for a restaurant, or possibly even another business, but particularly if you're looking to raise money for a restaurant, check this out. This is really cool. So he was talking about the initial process, and he raised $1.2 million, but I want to get down into how he did that. So he says, going back to the financial structure of the deal, I originally thought I would find 10 people to each give me $10,000. But I realized quickly that $100,000 is the worst amount of money to try to raise. It's more than what the average person has to invest, but it's really small to the person who has a lot of money. As a very rich guy told me, you've got to work as hard for a $100,000 deal as you would for the $1 million deal or the $10 million deal. So I knew I wasn't going to do this all with equity. I needed some debt as well.
I learned about SBA loans and I decided to go for $500,000 loan. I went to the first bank and they rejected me, and the next bank rejected me, and the next bank. I learned that I didn't know enough about my product and how to pitch the deal. Now, Scott, by the way, as an aside here, Scott is an adjunct professor of entrepreneurship up at UNC Chapel Hill Undergraduate School of Business. So that gives you some context, and I'll pick up where he left off there. I tell my students now, and this is the most important thing I tell them, that if you are going to raise money, you're going to make a list of people that you're going to talk to raise money. And don't start your pitches with the people at the top of your list. The mistake most of us make is we start off with our very best prospects. That's what I did. With no experience with my pitch, I gave lousy presentations and burned my prospects. If you're going to make a list, turn it upside down and start at the bottom. By the time you get to your best prospects, you're going to have a much better presentation and a much better deal. It's not just about showmanship. When you make a presentation and you get rejected, you ask why. You can't get upset, and you have to focus on making your deal better. And then this is where I was doing this interview, and my question was, how many banks rejected you, and how did you finally get one to lend you the money? So Scott goes on. I got rejected by 18 banks, and I'm now at the 19th bank. And this is very important because there are no other banks in the area. So I'm at the 19th bank, and I'm asking for my $500,000. And the guy says, I tell you what, if you can raise the other $1,150,000, I'll give you $50,000. So that wasn't going to do much for me, but I said, great, put that down on paper for me. 2 days later, I went back to bank number 18 and I said, hey, I just talked to bank number 19 and they're going to give me $50,000, but I like you better and I would like to do business with you. I'll be damned if he didn't give me $75,000. So I said, put it in a letter for me. I worked my way back up the banks. By the time I got back to bank number 5, I got a full $500,000 loan. As soon as I got an SBA loan approval, even though it was contingent on me raising the money, it really helped me raise more money. Suddenly now I was almost like good housekeeping seal of approval because investors could see, oh wow, this guy has been approved by a bank, by the SBA, he must be for real. The other thing I learned is that people are very reluctant to give you cash because they think you're going to burn it, you know, spend it without raising all the money, yada, yada, yada. Again, the law school degree was helpful. Oh, this is Will here, just interjecting. Scott had been at law school when he had the idea for Chapel or for Top of the Hill, and that's a great story too. You can read that in the book. Wonderful story. But anyway, so he had been to law school, so he knew he had some good ideas. So here he enters again. I created a trust and made my banker the trustee. She was not to release the money unless I had received the full SBA loan, and so that method worked out well because suddenly people knew that I was not going to run off with their money. And then finally, you're going to find that when you raise money, people will say, I will be your last $50,000 or I will be your last $100,000 or whatever. That happens again because I think people are afraid of having their money sit on the sidelines or of having it spent. It's kind of a variation of the trust issue. So I said to each person who said they would give me, great, give me the $100,000. Great, write that in a letter. And when I made my next presentation, I would count that money as money that people had given me. On the day that I raised all the other money, I called 3 different people that had promised me to be the last investment and said, hey, you're the last investment. So there were 3 simultaneous last investments, and I was able to raise all the money. One more thing, and I really enjoyed this part, was I asked him about raising any additional money on top of that, and he did, and this was a really cool idea as well. So I said, didn't you raise additional money? And he said, yes. If you ask anybody that knows anything about me raising money for Top of the Hill, they'll tell you about the Founders Club. The Founders Club was not about raising money, though. It all goes back to being in this particular space. I needed to convince the landlord to give me the space. But the landlord didn't believe that I was going to be successful, despite the fact that I took him and showed him my partner's New York restaurants, and I took him to show him brew pubs in Atlanta. He just didn't think it was going to work, and he asked me for proof that it was going to work. I was sure that I was going to be unable to provide proof, but in order to show the landlord that we would be successful, I would offer people the opportunity to join a founders club by giving me between $100 and $1,000. That got you a free t-shirt, your name on the wall, and when the restaurant opened, a tab worth twice your investment. I thought 20 or 30 people would join. Instead, people started joining like crazy. I cut it off at 550 people after I raised $75,000. So although it didn't start out being a fundraising effort, it did raise $75,000. That $75,000 wound up being pretty crucial when we first opened. So there you go. I mean, just a master class right there about raising money for a restaurant and a process to go through and the timing and the way you flip your list upside down and how you can position, you know, one bank versus the next if you're doing the SBA loan. So this is just brilliant advice. It was brilliant then. It's brilliant now. It's phenomenal, actionable advice. And well, that is it for this episode. We'll be doing more of this. I just kind of got the book out recently, was thumbing through and just thinking there's so much great advice that people gave us 12 years ago that would still be very relevant today. So more of this to come. Thank you all for listening. And by the way, today is Tuesday, the 27th of September. Tomorrow and Wednesday, I'll be in Raleigh. I have two podcasts scheduled and another on Thursday with different restaurant owners there. So a lot of good episodes coming up. And then we'll intersperse. We'll put these little timeless advice pieces in here between episodes and every now and then just to continue providing hopefully really good content for y'all. If you're listening, please give us a rating, whether it's Spotify or particularly on iTunes. Give us a star rating. Put a comment in there if you have a second. Just mention why you like the podcast. It really helps us out a lot. Thank you for listening. Y'all are awesome. More of these coming soon. And have a good one. See you.